This is Jenny.
And this is Amanda.
And we're from Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda.
Every second and fourth Tuesday of the month here on WGXC, Acre, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com or 518-966-2177.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. WNYT Albany reports that the village of Coxsackie declared a state of emergency because of storm damage July 7th. Quote, please be advised that multiple trees and wires are down with many roads being blocked. We are asking for no unnecessary travel through the village of Coxsackie at this time, unquote, officials posted on Facebook. They later posted that, quote, several streets are still completely blocked and walking around in the eastern part of the village is hazardous still with many wires and limbs hanging, unquote, saying the state of emergency remains in effect on July 8th. Quote, fortunately, we have no reports of any injuries at this time, unquote, Village of Coxsackie officials posted. Quote, please avoid the area of Washington and Lafayette and all areas east to the river until Thursday afternoon to allow Central Hudson to complete its work, unquote. There were also reports electricity outages in around the area and additional storm damage across the Hudson River in Stuyvesant. Read more about this story at WNYT Albany website.
Rebecca F. Ward reports in the Times Union that New York Senator Chuck Schumer said on July 6th that if Canadian officials won't reopen the border, the United States should act alone. Schumer said it is, and I quote, time, end quote, for the U.S. to, and I quote, finally take the first move in good faith to safely reopen the border to vaccinated Canadians, end quote. Schumer is now echoing what Republican Representative Elise Stefanik has been saying for a while. Schumer is now urging the Department of State and the Department of Homeland Security to take the first step to, and I quote, unilaterally expand the definition of essential travel to include vaccinated Canadian citizens with family, property, educational, medical, or business interest in the United States, end quote. Canadian officials have extended the pandemic-induced joint border closure through July 21st. New York shares a 445-mile border with Canada. On July 5th, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that he is, and I quote, hopeful that we're going to see new steps on reopening announced in the coming weeks, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Melanie Lukosovic is reporting for Columbia Green Media that former Athens Mayor Chris Feister was injured while retrieving a vandalized pride flag in Riverfront Park in the village. He suffered three broken ribs and a broken bone in his spine, spending several days hospitalized at Albany Medical Center over the weekend, his wife Carol Feister said on July 7th. Four flags representing pride for the LGBTQ community were posted in the park during June for Pride Month. The flags were torn down and damaged overnight June 27th. The incident has been designated a hate crime. Numerous American flags in the park remain undamaged. While three of the pride flags were deemed salvageable, the fourth was damaged beyond repair, Carol Feister said. Athens Pride organizer Marwa Warshall said, quote, "We have been very clear that this is a hate crime and that when the perpetrators are found, we intend to press charges," unquote. She said it is believed the incident occurred between 3 and 3:30 in the morning based on police video surveillance. Carol Feister later that morning found the damaged flags and discovered the poles they were hanging from had been torn down. Chris Feister was injured when he tried to retrieve one of the flags from the ferry slip. Quote, "He really is really suffering," unquote, Carol Feister said. The vandalism remains under investigation. Athens Mayor Amy Sirago said, quote, "I do not feel that this is a reflective of the broader community here in the village of Athens, and I'm both saddened and angry that this happened," unquote. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that the National Grid Power Company is, and I quote, "changing out transformers," end quote, and poles in Kinderhook, and some town officials and residents are not happy. Mayor Dale Liza said after a transformer went up on Hudson Street suspended between two poles that, and I quote, "this is unacceptable," end quote. He was given three options: leave the new equipment where it is, put the transformer in a box on the ground, or remove all the equipment. As of June 22nd, no decision had been made on the Hudson Street transformer, and there is other new work in the village. Some residents wanted the power equipment buried underground, or, like in Valencia, to have the power lines run behind the buildings on Main Street. In all, National Grid has replaced 60 to 70 electric poles in Kinderhook Village. While that is being done, residents may see some double poles as Consolidated Communications and Spectrum move their internet service to the new poles. You can read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Paul Nelson is reporting for the Times Union that an internal investigation commissioned by the town of Niskayuna found that former police chief Frances Wall violated the town's workplace violence policy late last year when she allegedly claimed she would kill a town employee if a firm the town board hired to conduct a racial equity audit, quote, "comes after my police officers," unquote. The Times Union obtained the findings and supporting documents this week through a Freedom of Information Law request. Those documents show that town comptroller Ismat Alam was the complainant. Alam alleged in the complaint that, quote, "if the town board could give you $25,000 for the racial equity audit, why can't they give me $25,000 for my police department for body cameras," unquote, before adding, quote, "if CNA comes after my police officers, then I will kill you," unquote. CNA is the Virginia-based research firm that conducted Niskayuna's racial audit. Alam states in documents that she was, quote, "taken aback, shocked, and felt bullied," unquote, as a result of behavior she allegedly experienced from Wall for months. On her part, Wall has denied the accusations and referred comment to her attorney, Paul Davenport. Davenport reiterated his past points that the incident never happened, unquote. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Bethany Bump reports in the Times Union that the Albany County Crisis Officials Responding and Diverting Program, launched earlier this month, has a test designed to improve outcomes for nonviolent emergency calls in Albany County and rural hill towns. The program is for diverting police from situations where they're not needed, reducing the chances of unnecessary harm and death, according to Stephen Giordano, director of the county's mental health department. Giordano said, and I quote, "You bring a law enforcement officer who is not trained in handling mental health crisis to a volatile situation with a weapon. I think the logic is bad things could happen, and sometimes they do," end quote. Katie Flanagan, the clinical director of emergency services and training for Albany County's Department of Mental Health, explained how the police aren't the answer to all emergencies. She said of the stigma that falsely equates mental illness with violence and criminality, and I quote, "Individuals that are in an emotional crisis, they feel it. They'll say, why are the police here? Am I going to get arrested? Their mere presence can escalate things," end quote. The program has trained dispatchers in the Hills towns to evaluate whether a call requires a police response. Flanagan said, and I quote, "Mentally ill people are more likely to be the victim of crime than the perpetrator of crime. And it's really untreated mental illness, usually in combination with substance abuse, that is the driver of violence, if there is an association at all. Unfortunately, I think most people think if you're crazy, you're violent, and that's just not true," end quote. Researchers from the University of Albany will collect, track, and analyze data on the program. Already there have been cases such as an elderly woman with dementia who was repeatedly calling the police to report her caregiver, whom she assumed was an intruder. Nina Ruiz, paramedic supervisor for the new program, said, and I quote, "The social worker was able to talk her down and de-escalate the situation, and she had medical complaints, so we evaluated her and had an ambulance come. It was exactly how we imagined a cord would work," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Capital Tonight is reporting that State Senator Liz Krueger said the governor's office not long ago called to reassure her it was interested in moving as quickly as possible to nominate the chairs of the new Office of Cannabis Management and the new Cannabis Control Board, in contrast to recent press reports indicating that Cuomo's office might be slow-walking the key nominations. As of July 7th, there have been no nominations announced. However, Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, the primary assembly sponsor of the Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act, said that while there is nothing to report yet, the governor's office and the Senate, quote, have come to a meeting of the minds, unquote. Peoples-Stokes said, while the nominations have yet to be announced, work on a framework for cannabis sales has been continuing behind the scenes. Quote, there will be no delay, unquote, she added. Several elements of the legislation are already in effect. Police are now no longer permitted to pull people over if they simply smell cannabis in a vehicle. Also, anyone previously convicted of a cannabis offense alone will soon have their conviction erased. Local governments will have to decide whether they want to opt out of dispensary and delivery services by the end of this year. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Andrea Mako reports in Porcupine Soup that the Schoharie County Eagle Trail opened this spring with 16 different sites and 10 nesting locations for watching bald eagles. Wildlife photographer Bill Combs Jr., who is partnering with the Schoharie Economic Enterprise Corporation on the project, said, and I quote, "The eagles are creatures of habit and like to stay close to home, so it can be most assured that a visit to the trail will result in eagle sightings," end quote. The Schoharie County Eagle Trail is more than 65 miles long and goes through five towns, from Esperance in the northern part of the county down to Gilboa in the south. Department of Environmental Conservation Officer Melissa Burgess said, and I quote, "They are majestic birds, and we are so fortunate to have them in our county," end quote. She added, and I quote, "Visit the birds, but view them from a safe distance and give them the respect they need," end quote. There is more information about the Schoharie County Eagle Trail at sceagletrail.com. And you can read more about this story in Porcupine Soup.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 2 p.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 76 degrees. Rain and possibly thunderstorms for Thursday night with a temperature low of around 66 degrees. And on Friday, rain is likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 77 degrees. And Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 61 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the radio on Thursday, July 8th, including at noon after the local news. Brad Monkel from Greenville hosts the Ear Candy Show, where he speaks with drummer Corey Fonville about his projects with Kurt Elling, Charlie Hunter, Butcher Brown, and others, and also talks with comedian Hans Kim. And then at 2 p.m., it's time to listen to the news set to music on the What's the Frequency Kenneth Show from Paul Fisher. 3 p.m., turn on the news for some outer space alien radio. At 3:30 p.m., it's time for Birds of Gaza on the Radia Show. At 7 p.m., we go live to Philmont for the Philmont Media Project and Heath Iverson's Movies on the Radio Show. At 9 p.m., we go live to Toronto with Andrew O'Connor's Disco 3000 show. And at 10 p.m., we're live from Columbia County with the Magic Strangers show until midnight, live on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Bobby Previtt's Blueprints is one of the many local events that's back on the WGXC community calendar. Bobby Previtt's show is at Time and Space Limited, Thursday, July 8th at 8:30 p.m. His Blueprints show includes many improvisers from around the Hudson Valley, and you can find out more about it at bobbyprevitt.com or on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, where you can list your own events and have them read on the radio in the community calendar at wgxc.org.
Common Ground is a private, not-for-profit organization offering dispute resolution services to the people in Columbia and Greene counties. Common Ground provides trained mediators who work to resolve the differences between two or more participants on issues including family, housing, business, workplace, school, and neighborhood disputes. The mediation process is informal, private, confidential, and voluntary. For more information, please contact Common Ground at 518-943-0523 or on our website, www.commongroundinc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, July 9th. Little muggy today, dew points in the low 70s. Leftover rain will fade as the day continues, ending fully before dark. A flash flood watch is in place for the Twin Counties until 4 p.m. A high of 82 is expected around 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to the mid-60s. Saturday will have a high of 81, and chance for light rain will be present in the afternoon. Another night in the 60s leads us into Sunday, with more chances for rain and a high of 81. More rain is due on Monday. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:11 a.m., low tide at 10:08 a.m., high tide again at 3:50 p.m., and low tide again at 9:57 p.m. Again, those times are for Friday, July 9th. Sunset today will be at 8:19 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:24 a.m. Looking way up, we see an equatorial coronal hole is releasing a solar wind stream due to hit Earth on Monday. Solar wind speed is currently 329 kilometers per second at 7.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 23. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Matt and Cassidy Bua of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
All the candlelights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing apart, we know every card by heart. All the candlelights, this is it, we'll hit the heights, and oh what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Breath away, and there you will be, so young and carefree. Again, you will see that place in time. So gold, still away into that. You thought that all would last forever, but like the weather, nothing can ever and be in time. Stay gold, but can it be when we can see so vividly? Oh, memory. And yes, you say, so must the day to fade away and leave a ray of sun. So yet filled with sorrow and compassion, though not imagined, all things that happen will age to old, though gold, 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 gold. Thank you.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda. I'm 19 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And you're also from the Hudson Area Library.
Yeah.
Mashuda has just joined us as an AmeriCorps team member. Yay!
Yay. I'm
so excited.
Me too.
Fun. And but yes, so we're here every week talking about books
we love, books we hate, other bookish things,
and we're often joined by our friends, but some things have come up this week, so it's just the two of us today. So we're gonna talk about some books and some bookish things as well, and that will be fun.
Riddles.
Oh, riddles are fun. Do you have any good riddles for me?
Yeah,
let's see if I can get them. It's a test.
I'm sure you will get it. So it says, I'm tall when I'm young, and I'm short when I'm old. What am I?
Tall when you're young, and you're short when you're old. What shrinks over time? I mean, a lot of things, like a balloon, it could be, because those are like big, and then they go, zoop, and they shrink.
Yeah.
But it's probably not that. Tall when I'm young, and I'm short when I'm old.
It can be anything. So it's like,
could be,
it's not a living thing.
It's not a living thing.
Yeah. It's something that we use a lot in our house. I don't know if it's a good thing. Okay. It's something we use to like light. We use it as a light.
Oh, a candle.
Yes.
Yeah. That makes sense. Poor old candle. Just a pile of wax.
Yeah. Another one?
Yeah. We'll see if I ever get one.
No, it's okay. It's like, it can be anything. Like, you're right. It
yeah.
A balloon. It could be like a human. A human shrink too. So it could be anything. So
we don't usually shrink that much though.
Oh, okay.
That we're smaller than a baby.
No. True. I don't know. I look
hard. That's where my brain was going to. I was like, well, we get bigger, like smaller.
Yeah. So this one, I like that one. It's like, so what is always in front of you, but can't be seen?
The future.
Yes.
Yes. I was like, the future, breath.
It's the future. Yeah.
Although sometimes you can see your breath.
True.
Like on a cold day or...
Yeah, it's actually very depressing to think about it, because like what's going to happen in the future? Like we get hints about it, but we don't know. And then like suddenly it's hard to say.
Yeah, see if I can find any riddles. Okay. I don't know. This isn't really a riddle.
I'm here.
Okay. Here's a good summer riddle. You throw away my outside, eat my inside, then throw away the inside. What am I?
Okay, so you throw away your...
You throw away my outside, eat my inside, then throw away the inside. What am I?
Okay, so it's not a banana. Is it a pistachio? Mm-hmm. No.
This one I think could also be a couple of things, but it's most... I see what... It makes the most sense what it is, I think, but not necessarily. Anyways, there's some other options. So you throw away the outside, you eat the inside, and then you throw away the inside.
A pineapple? No.
No.
I'm so bad at this. Is it like a fruit or vegetable?
Yes, I think.
Okay, so that's good.
Like, what is it? I think people think of it as a vegetable, but I wonder if it's actually not a vegetable. I think it's not a vegetable, but it is a vegetable. Go with that.
Okay. I can only think of fruits.
I guess it is a vegetable, yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't positive.
I mean, cucumbers, lettuce, we eat that. I mean...
See, I feel like watermelon could be an answer.
Yeah, I thought...
Because you get rid of the rind, you eat the fruit, and you usually throw away the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that could count, but that wasn't the answer.
Yeah. Or like the pineapple, you know, a lot of times there's like the hard things. The pineapple, we throw it out. That's inside.
Yeah.
And a cucumber? No, right?
No.
I'm trying.
You're throwing away more than seeds.
I'm so bad.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
It's corn on the cob.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I was thinking anything that has like a pit where you might peel it, or that has big seeds, like a watermelon, could also count.
I like asking people riddles, but not...
You don't like answering them?
No, because I'm really...
Do you want to ask another one?
Sure. Should I ask you a harder one or easy one?
Either way, because I'm not... I've been hit or miss with the ones you've been asking, so it's hard to say if it'll be hard or easy for me.
Okay.
Either one's fine. Okay. Go hard. Why not? It'll challenge me and our radio listeners. Yeah. They have to guess too.
Yep. A man who was outside in the rain without an umbrella or hat didn't get a single hair on his head wet. Why?
I have an idea. Is he bald?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, well, he could have been under a tree. Or he's bald. He has no hair. He didn't even get like his eyebrows wet. Maybe he didn't have eyebrows.
Could be.
It's one of the perks of being bald. You don't have to get your hair wet.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, those are fun.
Worry about brushing your hair every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like actual work.
Yeah, those are fun. I thought I would share a couple books that are new releases, either that came out this week or that are coming out next week for young audiences. So one of them is called Kiki Kalira Breaks a Kingdom by Sangu Mandana. And this is the description. And this is like a middle grade novel. Kiki Kalira has always been a worrier. Did she lock the front door? Is there a terrible reason her mom is late? Recently, her anxiety has been getting out of control. But one thing that has always soothed her is drawing. Kiki's sketchbook is full of fanciful doodles of the rich Indian myths and legends her mother has told her over the years. One day, her sketchbook's calming effect is broken when her mythological characters begin springing to life right out of its pages. Kiki ends up falling into the mystical world she drew, which includes a lot of wonderful discoveries like the band of rebel kids who protect the kingdom, as well as not so great ones like the ancient deity bent on total destruction. As the one responsible for creating the evil god, Kiki must overcome her fear and anxiety to save both worlds, the real and the imagined, from his wrath. But how can a girl armed with only a pencil defeat something so powerful? Woo! Yes, that sounds really fun.
Yeah.
And that's by the author Sangu Mandana, who wrote the Arusha and the Serpent's Secret series, which I know is a popular series. And it's interesting. I had talked about it a couple weeks ago, so I wasn't going to talk about it on today's show, but I just finished a middle grade graphic novel called Doodleville by Chad Sell, which is about a young artist who draws these little doodle characters. And it's sort of like this alternate reality, fantastical reality that feels like the real world, but her doodles kind of like come to life off the page, and like it's something that other people notice. So it's not just in her head. It's really happening in this world. And her doodles sometimes get in trouble. And then she draws a big monster and it starts like wreaking havoc on all the other drawings. And so then they're like trying to figure out how to like take down the monster. But then she starts to have some sympathy for the monster because she realizes that it's somewhat connected to her and her emotions. And she feels guilty about like trying to fight this monster that's really just kind of an extension of her. So this reminded me of that because it's about an artist whose drawings sort of come to life and sets her on an adventure. But this one's not a graphic novel. This one's a novel. So that's Kiki Kalira Breaks a Kingdom.
Yeah, sounds good. That's a really good book.
Yeah. Imagine if Fatia's drawings came to life.
Yeah.
Surrounded by butterflies and rainbows.
Yeah.
And flowers.
Yeah. She already thinks about for herself like she's a superhero. And yeah.
And then I'll share another, this one's more for a teen audience, and it just came out this past week, and it is called Rise to the Sun by Leah Johnson, who wrote a book called You Should See Me in a Crown, which I loved. And so this is her next novel. And the description reads as follows. Olivia is an expert at falling in love and at being dumb. But after the fallout from her last breakup has left her an outcast at school and at home, she's determined to turn over a new leaf. A crush-free weekend at Farmland Music and Arts Festival with her best friend is just what she needs to get her mind off the senior year that awaits her. Tony is 1 week away from starting college, and it's the last place she wants to be. Unsure about who she wants to become and still reeling in the wake of the loss of her musician-turned-roadie father, she's heading back to the music festival that changed his life in hopes that following in his footsteps will help her find her own way forward. When the two arrive at Farmland, the last thing they expect is to realize that they'll need to join forces in order to get what they're searching for out of the weekend. As they work together, the festival becomes so much more complicated than they bargained for. Olivia and Tony will find that they need each other and music more than they could ever have imagined. Packed with irresistible romance and irrepressible heart, bestselling author Leah Johnson delivers a stunning and cinematic story about grief, love, and the remarkable power of music to heal and connect us all. Yay! Sounds like a really good summer read, going to a music festival. I don't know how many of those are happening this year, but when I was a teenager, I used to love going to music concerts in the summer. There were some venues not far from where I lived that they would like announce their summer series, and I'd be like, which ones do I want to go to? It was so fun.
Yeah, they sound fun too.
Plus, I think it's cool how there's like two young women that are at a similar time in their life. One like getting ready to enter their last year of high school and one that's getting ready to take the next step into college. And it should be interesting to hear those perspectives in the story.
That's a big move, like a big transition in life. So
yeah. Yay.
They're both great books. I totally recommend our listeners to check it out.
Yeah, I'm excited to read both of those. I know Mishuda has at least one poem to share, maybe two. But before we do that, I wanted to mention that our summer reading program at the library has started. We kicked off this week, and it's been lovely to see people coming to the library. We also have virtual programs as well. But one of the activities we're doing is we have free backpacks for kids, tweens, and teens. And this was created in collaboration with the Columbia Land Conservancy, and it has activities and crafts. And then each kid gets to pick out two books as well. So we have a selection of books, very lovely, lovely books that you can choose from. All different age ranges, types of books, you know, whether you like funny or serious or fairy tales or funny things or rhymey things. We've got a little bit of everything in there. And so you can just stop by the library and pick up your bag and your books anytime we're open. And we're now open from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then Wednesday is our late night. So we're open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Saturday, we're open 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We do require that everyone over the age of 2 wears a mask for the time being. And we do have some masks here if you forget yours. So if you get to the front door and you realize you forgot your mask at home, we can help you out. But do stop by. We're at 51 North 5th Street in Hudson, the Hudson Area Library, and come get your summer reading bag. And you can browse while you're here. You can use the computers, you can check out a program. We're really excited to see people this summer. And every day, not just the summer.
Yeah, great people. As I'm working, it's like, it feels like the pandemic's over, but it's not. But it feels very nice seeing a lot of welcoming faces. And
Yeah. And you could see Mishuda's welcoming face and my welcoming face. Yeah. You come. Yeah. What a joy. What a prize.
Yeah, it truly is. It's like, the pandemic, I think, made us stay home and be separated. Like now we're open. So come enjoy, study anything and take time for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. We hope to see everybody soon. Feel free to stop by 51 North 5th Street. Don't forget your mask. And you can always give a call too. We're still doing curbside service. So anyone that doesn't feel comfortable coming in the library, either because they don't feel comfortable wearing a mask, or they don't feel comfortable coming inside even with the mask on, can bring you books or movies out to your car or vehicle. Or if you're walking, we can hand deliver them outside. So you can always give us a call, 518-828-1792. And check out our list of programs online too at hudsonarealibrary.org. We've got a mix of virtual and in-person options this summer and lots of different topics and types of programs. So looking forward to it all. But I'm also looking forward to hearing some poems from Mishuda. So maybe you can share a poem or two.
Okay, the poem I have is Nothing Gold Can Stay by Robert Frost, who lived 1874 through 1963. Nature's first green is gold, her hardest who to hold. Her early leaves flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief, so dawn goes down to day. Nothing gold can stay by Robert Frost. So that's, one of my favorite poems by him. And we read it in school so many times. And it's like, gives us a message that nothing valuable can stay. And a lot of times we take things for granted, whether it's people or an object, anything. And a lot of times when we're taking it for granted, we forget that it doesn't stay with us forever. So we have to just cherish and love the moment that we have. So it's like, as depressing it is, it's true. So I feel like that poem makes us come to reality and just enjoy the moment. And yeah,
it always reminds me of The Outsiders.
Oh yeah,
that novel,
right? Yeah,
so I think it's featured in that. I know it's in the movie. I think it's in the book too.
I love The Outsiders, but like, yeah. I don't love the ending.
No.
Yeah, it's
so sad. Yeah, it's one of those books that I feel like there's certain books and movies that I know how they're gonna end, and I always get invested and want them to end differently. Like anytime I see a Romeo and Juliet story, I'm like, maybe it'll be a happy ending, and it never is.
Yeah, I have seen a lot of like movies based on Romeo and Juliet, and that there was a happy ending.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's like one of the Hollywood movie, I forgot what was the name, were based on Romeo and Juliet, but like the director switched it to a happy ending. But like, yeah. But I love Shakespeare writing more, because it's like I understand why he writes the tragedy. Mm-hmm. Because it's like nowadays, oh, it's happy, 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 but then he goes in depth to mm-hmm. it.
And he has some comedies though.
Yeah,
they can be pretty funny. And actually, the movie that I had been thinking of, which was the last Romeo and Juliet adaptation that I saw, did not have a happy ending.
Like The Notebook, right? The Notebook, did it have a happy ending? I'm assuming it's from...
I think that one, it's less of an adaptation of Romeo and Juliet, but more it's like the love from like opposite sides of the tracks kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or yeah. Like their families wouldn't approve kind of thing. I don't remember that one being Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, no, I just thought about, like, I connected it to a Romeo and Juliet mm-hmm. because of, like, the Montagues, and they're not friends when Romeo mm-hmm. and Juliet. But I just thought about it. It's just like,
yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. I'm curious how many stories there were before Shakespeare's time or at Shakespeare's time that had that similar kind of rival family love story aspect, or if it all started with Shakespeare. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know ancient stories that much.
Yeah, but I feel like Shakespeare really did give a lot of authors ideas mm-hmm. on that. And he's a very good author. And he's my role model when I'm writing it. He's like, 'tis thy love or something like that.
Did you have another poem that you wanted to share?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Dreams by Langston Hughes, 1902 to 1967. That was his lifetime. And the poem is Hold Past to Dreams. For if dreams die, life is broken, winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams. For when dreams go, life is a barren field, frozen with snow. That's Dreams by Langston Hughes. So I feel like that poem gives us an idea to just run towards our dreams before the time runs out. And yeah, I feel like that's, so I feel like that tells us that, you know, time is limited. So we should just achieve it as much as we can. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great poem. I found a poem I could share as well. This is from poets.org, the Academy of American Poets website, and they have a poem a day. And so this is their poem for Wednesday, July 7th. So it's called Born, Living, Will, Die. And it's by Kimon Felix. And it says, for my favorite auntie, Jeanette, sometimes I think I'm never going to write a poem again. And then there's a full moon. I miss being in love, but I miss myself most when I'm gone. In the salty, wet air of my ancestry, my auntie peels a mango with her teeth. And I'm no longer writing political poems because there are mangoes and my favorite memory is still alive. I'm digging for meaning, but haunted by purpose, and it's an insufficient approach. What's the margin of loss on words not spent today? I'm getting older. I'm buying smaller images to travel light. I wake up, I light up, I tidy, and it's all over now.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, I liked that poem. Mostly because I really love the moon and mangoes.
Yeah.
So any poem that has those two, that's nice.
Yeah.
I haven't had a good mango in a long time. Mm. I need to find some. But yeah. I think it's past, it's like prime mango season.
Do you like mango smoothies?
I don't have them often, but I do like them.
Yeah, like mango lassi and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm vegan now, so I can't eat mango or drink mango lassis anymore, but I loved them as a kid. And I love mango juice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should try to make a vegan mango lassi.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Should be pretty easy. If I can find a good mango. That's the main thing, is you got to find the mango first.
I love mangoes too. Mangoes, watermelon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, watermelon's my summer favorite. Although I've really been feeling the strawberries lately. I know strawberry season's just about ended, but I love the fresh fruit of summer. It's so nice.
Yeah.
Makes the heat waves worth it. Yeah. If it wasn't for the fresh fruit and veggies.
Yeah.
I don't know. Summer would be rough.
True. Are you growing the fruit and vegetable this year?
I'm not growing fruit unless, well, I'm growing fruit vegetables. So I'm growing tomatoes and jalapenos and cucumber and zucchini and radishes and lettuce and beans and nasturtium and a bunch of herbs and flowers.
Wow.
But most of the flowers aren't edible, or I wouldn't suggest it.
That's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you growing the beans? Like the beans, like the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually got two different kinds of beans that I'm trying to grow. That I got the seeds from our library of local kiosk that's in the library. And so we have a bunch of seeds that people can just come and take and they can plant things in their garden. So actually most of the things I'm growing from seed are from that kiosk, except the tomatoes, we got some starters from a friend. Cucumber, the zucchini, the radishes, and the beans I all got through Library of Local. And so the beans that I'm growing, one is a Scarlet Runner bean, and one is Hank's Extra Special Baking Bean. And yeah, so far I'm just kind of experimenting with it. So it's low stakes. If I don't get good beans, I'm okay. But I have to see if I need like a special trellis or something, or if it'll, I'm not sure if it'll just work with my fence or not. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But I can always add a trellis if I need to. But so far it's maybe a few inches tall. But we'll see with the weather we've been having with the heat and the rain. My plants have been sort of exploding, just growing really fast.
Yeah.
Like we went from little tomato seedlings to like big tomato plants really fast. No tomatoes yet, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's good that you're growing like fresh out of.
Yeah, it's nice. The herbs are very nice too, because you can just quickly add them to something.
Yeah.
And I like the radishes because you can just eat them. Like you just pick them, wash them, eat them. They're a little spicy, which I like.
Yeah, and they're really good with salad too.
Are you growing anything at your home?
No, not this year. Like this year has been busy.
Yeah. Maybe we can get you a little potted. Like the nasturtium is really easy to grow, and that's fun because it's edible flowers. So you can, like, if you're having a salad, you can just put some flowers on it and it looks pretty and they taste good. Plus they look nice in the pot. So it's a win-win-win.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's easy is nice too. And the radishes are actually, they're pretty fast growing. And they don't need much sun. Actually, in the summer, you want to give them some shade because they're more of a spring fall crop, but they can grow in the summer as long as they don't get overheated or too much sun. Yeah. But anyone out there listening that wants to grow, you can come to the library and pick up some seeds. And very soon, we're also going to have tools that people can borrow. So if you want to borrow a hoe or a rake, various things for setting seeds, starting seeds. You can come by and borrow that from the library, just like you'd borrow a book. The seeds we don't make you bring back, but if you were to save seeds, you could bring those back and then we can grow again the next year. But on that note, I think we're just about out of time for today. So thank you everyone for listening, and we hope you'll stop by the library someday soon. Say hello to me and Mashuda and our other friends here and to check out all we have to offer this summer. We'll be back next week to talk about some more books. In the meantime, happy reading.
Bye.
नस नस में अब ये जग गया लहू मुलग गया लबों के छूने से खाबों के कोने से लबों के छूने से खाबों के कोने से बच के सब से लब ये रग से रग गया गया लहू मुलक गया।
Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening.
Today I'm in Rhinebeck to meet with Susan Whitus, curator and director of T-Space. T-Space is a multidisciplinary nonprofit arts organization focused on the arts, education, design, and ecology. Here, visitors can view and engage with outdoor sculptural installations, its treehouse-like gallery, experimental architecture, as well as public programs like poetry readings, talks, and musical performances by international and emerging artists. Well, thank you, Susan, for joining me on a little bit of a rainy day and giving me a tour of the property. Can you talk about who founded T-Space and its mission?
T-Space was founded in 2010 by the architect Stephen Hall. He's an internationally acclaimed modern contemporary architect who focuses on cultural buildings and urban projects. And he had always wanted a gallery and ended up building this gallery that he called T-Space. It's shaped like a T in plan. And the idea from the start was to bring together art, architecture, music, and poetry in a very deep cross-inspiration. And the idea was to bring out a spiritual renewal that went against the commodification of art and architecture. It also has an educational mission. So what's on the property is we have two areas of our grounds. The first, the T-Space Gallery, and then about a minute down the road, we have acquired a 30-acre nature reserve. Stephen cut a beautiful 2-mile path through the untouched wilderness, and on that is some wonderful art installations.
So when we took a walk throughout the grounds this morning, I fell in love with an artwork that was really embedded in the woods. Can you describe the piece and the artist who made it?
Yes, that is an incredible piece by Richard Nonus that we are so honored to have on the reserve. Richard, in 2017, came to T-Space and wanted to do a piece through the natural landscape. Richard has a background in anthropology. He's sort of a self-taught artist from the 60s and the 70s when he came of age. He made a piece called Where None that comes from a line from Beckett. And it's a city block's length of crossed wooden beams that goes across the hills and dips of the T-Space Reserve. Sadly, Richard passed away this past spring, but it's very profound to have this work of his. And over the past 3 years, the piece has developed this feeling as if it's been there absolutely forever. And it has a very charged emotional presence. We really want to focus on how art can be transformational to an individual, to culture, and really explore breaking the boundaries and new forms. As an addition to experimental architecture, in our newest incarnation, an architectural archive and Research Library was started in 2020.
That library is going to be an invaluable resource for any architecture student. Who's able to actually go to that library, either now or in the future?
Well, it's still being populated with amazing models from the 40-year career of Stephen Hall, as well as other architects. Then the library was just populated with over 3,000 architecture books. We want the entire Hudson Valley community and beyond to be able to come and tour it and to be able to use it as a research facility.
And I know there's part residency too. Can you talk about that?
A very important part of our program is our architecture residency. Every summer, we have 5 or 6 young architects from all over the world come and spend a month at the reserve, stay in the cabin, and do incredible projects. During the residency, we have at least 10 architecture and art lectures, which now are done virtually with Q&As of global leaders and local leaders in the fields.
And then do you want to talk about the space we're in now and the artist on view?
If you haven't been to T-Space, it's actually a very special space. The sense of balance and harmony in the proportions comes from the Golden Mean. There's unusual fenestration. There's 7 skylights.
Well, the first time I came to visit, the natural light was dancing off of the walls. However, even on this rainy day, it has this incredible way of bringing in nature through the light, even though it's not direct sunlight.
Yes, we just finished installing a show of Anthony Titus titled Ruptures and Reconciliations, and it'll be up all summer. We're very excited because Anthony really exemplifies T-Space's mission to synthesize art, architecture, music, and poetry. For this body of work, he has developed a new series of deconstructed paintings that deeply combine surface and structure and allows the paintings to break away from their frames into these wild gravity-defying compositions. What he does is, through successive layering of paint, he transforms this crumbled, draped, and wrapped canvas into these rigid structures of gorgeous color and mysterious materiality.
They seem very sculptural. I almost didn't even realize they were paintings.
Yeah, they're very dynamic. And he refers to them as three-dimensional. As an architect and an artist, he is really working with the space, the light. They're made with shiny paint, and they reflect, you know, even on a gray day like this, the shine of certain areas and color.
Did he conceive of this exhibition specifically for T-Space?
He absolutely did. He had been doing some very small pieces that were lovely. For this body of work, he wanted to deal more directly with the space and with the viewer experiencing them. So he enlarged his scale in a very, very exciting way.
And how does poetry come to play?
So Anthony's show has been inspired by Richard Wright's haikus. He did these at the end of his life. They really are about transformation, about nature and everyday experience. The other part of the show that's really, really important is that Anthony was very connected to the music of Anthony Braxton. Both the visual notations of Braxton, which are incredible, the spatial qualities of his music, and the oral qualities of rhythm and improvisation. Anthony Titus considers the process of making his works a cycle of making, unmaking, and remaking that totally mirrors how the current social fabric seems to be coming apart in ways that actually are unprecedented. We're having a virtual opening event where Anthony will be paired with the music of Anthony Braxton, violinist Erica Dicker, and her husband, tuba player Dan Peck, will perform from Anthony Braxton's Ghost Trance music series. Their performance will merge the improvisational spirit of both Titus and Braxton's work. The opening event will also feature a reading by poet and essayist Kathy Park Hong, author of